Derek, you don't have your Bible with you, do you? I was going to ask you if this verse is highlighted in your Bible. We gave Derek a Bible a couple of weeks ago, and I passed it around and asked everyone here to highlight a verse that was important to them. And I'm hoping that somebody highlighted Romans 8:28. Did anybody highlight Romans 8:28? Do you know? All right. Go check it out when you get home. Open that Bible. Romans 8:28. But before we get to Romans 8:28, which is where I'll land today eventually, I wanted to muse about these previous verses leading up to it. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Listen to those words. I love that. God, who searches the mind or the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. A couple of things I hear there. The first being, we don't know how to pray. Did you know this about yourself? I kind of did. I kind of been wondering about it. I started a conversation last week, I think, about prayer and sort of my where I feel really limited and at a loss. Sometimes I stand up here and you guys give me these prayers of joys and concerns, and I just feel inadequate to do anything with those. I try to use some language and I try to be a poet and craft some nice language around the prayer, and it just sometimes feels so, I don't know, it just feels wrong sometimes. And now I realize I'm doing it wrong. I don't even know how to do it. So if you've ever thought to yourself, I don't know how to pray, know that according to Paul, you're in good company, because we don't know how to pray. And so what do? We surrender. We turn it over. Maybe that's the first step in prayer, is just turning it over. Easier said than done. I've been trying this for many years. It's hard to let go. It's hard to surrender. But the Spirit intercedes for us with sighs. With sighs. Go ahead. Sigh. Bigger than that. With sighs. Thank you. Too deep for human words. A few weeks ago, so my friend Chris Fransvog, you guys met him 2 weeks ago for Bluegrass Sunday. He was the guy on the strings. Well, we led an 8-day centering prayer retreat together in June, at the 1st of June. And part of what we did on that retreat is before we got into it, we sat down with the retreatants. There were 20 of them. So he took 10 and I took 10. And we each spent about 15 minutes with every person who was on the retreat. And we asked them what they're bringing to the retreat. And we got a whole litany of things, some of them from profound, you know, really just you can't even imagine the kind of pain and wounds that people bring with them on a retreat. And then just some very simple things, you know, about life transitions and changes at home. So we sat together in a room, Chris and I, and we didn't know what to do with these. He shared me the ones that he had. I shared the ones that I had. And what do we do with these? And then he told me that one of the people he sat with had this beautiful thing. She said she's been trying to pray. She's really changed. Something has shifted in how she prays. She used to try to pray for all, to sort of direct God in prayer, you know, do so-and-so for so-and-such, you know, and do this and provide the healing for that. Instead of telling God what to do in prayer, she decided, I'm just going to pray these people into the love of God. Instead of trying to direct God in prayer, why don't I just pray these people into God's love? That is a shift, isn't it? You've probably heard me say this before, but who am I to tell God what to do? You know, That's one sort of way, an understanding of prayer, is that I'm going to ask God to heal this cancer, or I'm going to ask God to fix the community that seems to be returning to gun violence once again. But rather than tell God what to do about these situations in our world, maybe I should just turn the world over and do my thing to pray the world into the love of God. I love that. What's that line in the Peter Mayer song about the water, now I'm swimming in it? It used to be, the holy water, you know, there's this image. Is Peter Mayer Catholic or Lutheran? He was Catholic. The guy that wrote that song. So this image of, you know, when you come into church, you just barely dip your fingertip in the holy water. But now, as he looks around and everything's holy, he's swimming in it. What if we're swimming in the love of God? And what if prayer can be a matter of taking these people, this birthday, this surgery, this gun shooting, this situation, and what if we just pray it into the love of God? What does that mean? Does it mean we're pushing it? I don't think that's it either. Inviting it, visualizing it, hoping it, just letting it be. To me, visualization is a huge thing, and that can be a real gift in prayer, just to visualize the person, the wound, the troubling situation. Picture it swimming in the love of God or surrounded by God's light. I'm working on prayer. And so I'm very comforted by Paul to first of all know that I'm not alone in the fact that I don't know how to pray, but then that there's help, that I don't have to pray, that the Spirit does it for me. So that's an interesting thing, isn't it? That I'm going to let the very Spirit intercede with sighs too deep for human words, and that the God who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And then you heard the word saints and you said, well, that's not me. That's a very select bunch of people, right? Anybody think that's true? This will be fun. Raise your hand if you think you're a saint. Thank you. Raise your hand if you think you're a saint. Raise your hand if you think God works through you. All right. Raise your hand if you think it's possible that God might shine through you and that others might see God through you. Raise your hand. Okay, we have now redefined the word saint. That's all a saint is. You might have been thinking that a saint is a very specialized person whose feet don't touch the ground when they walk, that whose halo kind of shines a little bit, their skin shines. Yeah, no, that's not a saint. That's a vampire. Thank you. Or it's a stained glass window, or it's something in a museum somewhere. But a saint is a real person like you and me who's just trying to do the will of God and let the Spirit of God work through them. So if everything is holy now, every person is a saint now. Every one of us has the potential to carry the love of God into the world. That's all I'm saying. It doesn't mean you're without fault. Doesn't mean that you're blameless. It doesn't mean that you have no blemish, right? We are all wounded warriors, saints with scars, right? But we all have that potential because everything is holy now. Everyone's a saint now, so we can carry it. And why do we say this? Because then the very next line, Paul says, for all things work together for good for those who love God. Okay? Another definition of a saint could just be that last little bit. Those who love God. If you're a lover of God, then you're a saint. It doesn't mean that you do it perfectly or fully, but that you're doing it. And so all things work together for good for those who love God. That's the closest thing I could find to the actual words of that song, Everything is Holy Now. And to me, it's a real challenge. I've been trying to do this. So Peter Mayer sings the song, Everything is Holy Now. Richard Rohr has a book that says, Everything Belongs, That's the title of the book, and it's a refrain that comes up throughout the book. And when he says everything belongs, he's trying to open the mind beyond dualistic thinking to, so there's good things and there's evil things, there's right and there's wrong, there's me and there's you, there's being human and there's being God. There's all these sort of divisions and dichotomies that we create as humans. And he's trying to, in a contemplative mind, he says that we pray and the Spirit intercedes with us and is part of our breath and our life, and those divisions sort of melt away. And when he says everything belongs, he means that everything that happens is part of God. And of course, like you, maybe you're like me. Yeah, maybe you're like me. Not me like you, but anyway. I immediately go to the tragedy, right? Well, the gun violence, the shooting, 5 people dead in this army base, that's God? Well, we don't have to go to the big things like that right away. War, famine, the Holocaust, that's God? What are you talking about? Okay, let's just start small. Everything here today? It's funny. Part of my audible that I was calling today was when I thought about this last night. You know, when the quarterback gets to the line of scrimmage and he sees that things are different, sometimes he calls an audible. That's how I'm using that phrase. Well, for the pastor, the scrimmage, you get to the scrimmage line. For me, anyway, I get there on Saturday night. So last night I'm laying in bed, and I looked out, and I saw this place in all these little squares, and I thought, or tables and settings, well, we're not going to come forward for communion. That's dumb. We need to have communion at the table where we're at, where we're sitting. And so I was calling an audible, and I was thinking, how am I going to do that? How am I going to orchestrate that? And Donna came in early today, and I told her my plan, and I was trying to find some really nice cups, some glasses that we could put on the table. I didn't want to use these paper cups. I thought, we can't take communion seriously in a little paper cup with owls on it. But then I thought about my own sermon, and I thought about this song, and I thought, who am I trying to dress up communion in some kind of glass pitcher or cup? What do you mean we can't do communion in a paper cup? I thought you said everything is holy now, preacher. So we're going with the paper cup, the Dixie cup with the owls on it, because everything is holy now. So, yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? So when we say everything belongs, you know, eventually maybe you get to the point where you redefine evil. I think evil is a word that takes us on a path that separates us, that draws divisions, you know. It makes enemies and easy to kill targets instead of seeing how we're all brothers and sisters. So I really, the contemplative mind and this way of being in the Spirit, I think, is to say that everything belongs means that we're really working towards opening our eyes to see the amazing things that are already around us. Mary Oliver, the poet, does a great job of that. She does this for me all the time. And her poem, The Summer Day, goes like this. She says, she starts her poems a lot of times with questions. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is, she says. I do know how to pay attention. How to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to stroll through the fields, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is exactly what I've been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? That's Mary Oliver, the summer day. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. And she's a liar, because then she goes on to say, I know how to pay attention, how to fall down in the grass, how to kneel down as though everything around me is holy. In another poem, she says, these are three instructions for life. Pay attention, be amazed, and tell about it. Yeah, so we don't know how to pray. But thank God for the poets and the musicians and the songwriters and the people who have opened their eyes and shown us what it means to live a wild and precious life. May you do so now.